Heavenly Father, when people come out in America in the middle of the week in the morning, it's because they're very hungry, Father. You know that. Now, Father, the Lord said that blessed are those that hunger and thirst, for they will be filled. And Father, we've come to dine at your table. We're so thankful we don't have to just settle for the winds of doctrine created by men. But Lord, you've given us access to your very best, the Holy Spirit himself. So Father, for myself here, I just yield myself as a vessel unto you. Make my tongue as the pen of a ready writer, that I can speak forth the mind of Christ with simplicity, that we can all understand it. Father, anoint the ears of the hearers with ear salve, that they can hear what the Spirit is saying, not only to the church, but to each one of them individually. Lord, I know if they only hear my voice, they're not going to be helped. But if they hear the voice of their shepherd speaking to them, they will be helped. Father, have your way here this morning. We give you praise for all these things in Jesus' name. And all the people said, Amen. You can be turning to Ephesians 4. Now, I'm going to start off. Normally, I review directly from the previous day. And we're actually going to do that in a way, but we're going to come at it from a different angle. And review just a little bit. Now, the purpose of these morning sessions is how to locate better the ear of your spirit, because we all want to hear God more accurately, do we not? Like I said yesterday, I mean, if a person ever gets to where he can really hear the Holy Spirit on that day-by-day, moment-by-moment basis, it'd be pretty hard to fail. I mean, you know, you're gonna know what your calling is in the body of Christ. For you younger ones, you'll wind up marrying the right person. You'll live in the right city. You'll be in the right ministry. You'll be going to the right church. Of course, Bronx says you already are. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe that too, you know. If you ever moved to Oklahoma, I got the name of another one. But but if you're here, this is where I'd be going. I'll tell you for sure. And even if I did live in Naples. But anyhow. Oh, inside joke for benefit of the tape from last night. Anyway. So anyway, these morning sessions. And see, the evening sessions were primarily combining all of this with the kingdom finances, along with the born-again trail, you know, the new nature that's in us. But boy, if you can really get all three of those revelations going at once now, be operating out of your new nature, being led by the very Spirit of the living God who's with us on a moment-by-moment basis, and then be purged enough from the love of money to where you can actually become a steward that God could trust with some money. Hey, this revival, this gospel might get preached to every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe, you know?
Yes.
And I'm absolutely convinced. I read the Old Testament, and I see where God, he likes to make kings from shepherds. So you might say, well, I pick fruit or something. I mean, I didn't graduate high school. God makes kings from shepherds.
That's right.
Joseph, he brought in a day from the dungeons of Pharaoh's prisons.
Yes.
To where he managed all the finances of the richest nation on earth. In a day.
Yes.
All things are possible to him that believeth. Amen? Alright, so yesterday, let me review it this way. How the Holy Spirit started getting my attention on this. See, as our pastor has been really teaching us strong over the last year about what we call the born-again trail, what really happened to us when we got born again, and how our spirits pass from death to life. Well, as I've been understanding that, I understand more and more that, and all through the New Testament, it says like things like, if you walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And John says we should walk as he walked, and we're to be led of the Spirit, and all those verses are in there. So, you know, I was thinking about that, and then the Holy Spirit just kind of asked me this question. He says, now, how were you led? What did you walk by before you were born again? And I thought, and I mean, my instant answer would have been, well, I walked by my old nature. You know, now I have this new nature that I'm trying to walk by. But before I got born again, I walked by my old nature, the sin nature, that spirit of sin that was passed down. And then he directed me to Ephesians 4. Because before we even read this, let me just tell you. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. If you'd have walked by that old nature, you'd have been another Hitler.
That's it.
That old nature is death to the maximum. I mean, it's selfish to the core. It is, there is nothing good. That's really what the prophet Jeremiah was talking about. Not talking about a new creature. He was talking about man in his fallen condition. He says, the heart is desperately wicked. It is deceitful above all things. Who can know it? He's talking about that sin nature that we received at our first birth when we were born in the flesh from Adam. And had we let that nature run full course, we all had the potential to become Hitlers, Stalins, Attila the Hun, or whatever. We all had that capacity. So it's, you know, started becoming obvious to me, well, wait a minute. If I didn't walk by my own nature, what did I walk by? Well, the answer is right here in Ephesians 4. Coming right on down to verse 22, Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, and he's not talking about speech there so much as he is talking about your manner of life. Put off concerning your former manner of life the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. Oh, I'm sorry, I started down too late. Let me back up here. Is it verse, even above that. Verse 17. This is where we start. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk. And how do they walk? When he says other Gentiles, he's talking about unbelievers. I don't want you walking like unbelievers. And then he tells us how they walk. In the vanity of their mind. They're not walking by their old nature. They're walking in the vanity of their mind. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Why is that? Well, because they're not born again. There is no channel. There is no conduit within them. There is no born-again spirit where they can hear from God. So being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness, and in the margin of my Bible, it's the hardness of their heart. Remember we read the prophet Ezekiel yesterday who said, he prophesied where God says, I'm going to take out that old hard, stony heart out of you. See here he talks about hardness of heart. They're not born again. They have no conduit for the life of God to flow through them, and they're separated from God. Well, just like, but they're not walking by that old nature for the most part. Now remember yesterday I said, if standing in this position right here would be an unborn again man with that death nature, the capacity to become a Hitler or a Stalin or a Lenin. And if I walk by that, then if I get mad at somebody, mad enough to kill them, I would kill them. You see, if I just let that nature run full course. So we learned early on as children, we would steal or we would lie, and our parents immediately began to spank us and correct us. And we learned right away it was painful to walk by the sin nature. So we started learning in our mind what civilization calls proper behavior, and we learned to start making a separation in our actions, making our decisions by our mind, what we learned from our parents, what we learned in school, what we learned from religion, what was proper and acceptable behavior and what was not. So little by little we trained ourselves to operate further. We tried to distance ourselves from that sin nature. And really, it's a good thing we did, or the whole world would be in anarchy. You know, it would just be absolute chaos. And again, the laws of every civilization is designed on purpose to protect man from man. And you better obey these laws, or certain bad things are going to happen to you. Well, we learn all that in our mind. And that's what he's talking about here. Gentiles, unbelievers for the most part, don't walk by that unregenerate spirit. If they did and they got mad at you, they'd just shoot you. You know, if you want, you know, well, as that Dave says it, he says, now, an unregenerate man, he may be a law abider, he may keep the law, but it's not because he doesn't want to steal your car, but he likes that law being there so you can't come and steal mine. You see? So the laws of every civilization is to protect man from each other and that unregenerate spirit. So none of us walked by our old nature. Now, every now and then, I'm not saying it wouldn't sneak up on you. You know, why was that Dave said at one time? He said, Oh, he says, I think I've got my old man pretty well dead. Every now and then he'll escape a little bit, but he doesn't get very far. And really, it's not even that, because we don't have two natures in us.
That's right.
That is something you have to believe down to your socks. The Bible tells us that that old man, that body of sin, was crucified with Christ.
Yes.
That's what Ezekiel was talking about when God says, I'm going to take out that stony heart. And I'm going to put a new heart in you. And I'm going to put my spirit in you.
Yes.
See, so that Adamic spirit, it died to death. God took it out. And when you got born again, you got the spirit which is of Him on the inside of you. Okay? All right, now reading this verse again, Paul says now, church at Ephesus or church at Immokalee or wherever, you know, by tape, whatever church you, wherever you live, he's saying, now don't live. Now in the past, you're just like these Gentiles and you used to walk by your mind. See? And he's saying, I don't want you walking like that anymore. He said, look at verse 17 again. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth, from this day forward, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. And it goes on and on and on here, but now let's pick it up here in verse 22. Put off concerning the former conversation the old man. Now see that, when you read that, if you don't it almost sounds like he's saying quit walking by the old nature. No, he just got through telling us how the old man walked up here. This is how you used to walk, by your mind, by your intellect. And we still tend to do it after we get born again. In my case, I'd been trained, so before I got born again, people called me a pretty good man. I was law-abiding, was honest, hard worker, support my family type of thing. Didn't lie too much. Drank like a fish, but you know. But, you know, all in all, you know, stacked up against most guys, they thought I was, you know, pretty good. Sue thought I was a pretty good catch anyway. And at least I didn't, you know, I didn't lay home on the couch in a T-shirt and guzzle beer while she worked. Glory to God. You understand what I'm saying? But see, in order to walk as any kind of decent human being at all, because I was had that death nature in me then. Well, what was I walking by? I was walking by my mind. I had learned from society and from my parents and from religious training how to function in this world. And the better I was at that, to separate myself from that old nature, make my decisions completely by my soul, I got pats on the back. Well, you're a nice fella. You're a good guy. So it's positive reinforcement. So, you know, the older you are, every pat on the back you get is by, well, you're real good at making decisions by your soul and isolating yourself away from that dead spirit. Paul's saying, don't walk like that anymore. See, because all the power of God flows through our spirit. God is not just a soul. The Bible says God is a spirit. We are His children. We are spirit born. At our core, we are spirits. You've got a conduit for the very life of God to flow from the spiritual realm into this material realm. But it flows through your spirit, honey, not your soul. So we're over here asking God, because we've trained ourselves to operate out of the soul, and we have a lot of questions. How many of you would like to, if you had an audience with God at 12:01 today, I know Kathy for sure would have about 1,000 questions. Wouldn't you, Kathy? And, you know, and then after hour one, you got 1,000 more, don't you, honey? And you'd like to have answers. And we're not just talking about religious, theological type questions, you know, like I'd like to know revelation knowledge. You want to know like what's mine and Darwin's ministry going to be, you know? Darwin, I know better. Well, you know, I mean, what have you really called us to do? I mean, are we going to have more children or... You know, you'd have real questions like that too, wouldn't you? And so we ask questions, maybe just sometimes you're in trouble, you know, and you don't know what to do. You have 3 or 4 alternatives, and you could take either one of those paths, but you don't know which one of them is God. And you ask, haven't you? Isn't the silence deafening? It's because we're asking out of the soul and we're listening in the soul, and that's not where He talks to human beings very often. He can, but that's not His number one way of doing it. He communicates with our spirit. But we've learned to pretty well not listen to our spirit. We don't even hardly know how to go back over there because we've learned to walk in the vanity of our mind. So even spirit-born, spirit-baptized Christians, for the most part, this is why I'm understanding better why Kenneth Hagin said it. I read it in one of his books years ago. He says most Christians, most spirit-filled Christians, live and die and never enter the first phase of their real ministry. They never find it. And the reason they don't, they never learn how to listen in their spirit. Everyone say, that won't be me. I'm here today. I'm going to learn how to listen in my spirit. Okay, now for additional tapes by Gary Carpenter. No, well, if I was to leave right now, I'd get stoned, wouldn't it? All right. Now, I said, does that kind of pretty well summarize, get us back up to date and from a little different angle? Now, I said yesterday that primarily today, we may get into some of the mechanics, but primarily today I want to talk about some prerequisites. These are things that are greatly needed if you're really going to be able to hear His voice. Okay? Now, the number one requirement, if you're taking notes or you can take it off the tape later, but the number one thing you need in your life in order to hear God is peace. He has told me, and I can show it to you in the Word, but He has told me repeatedly in my own communing times with the Holy Ghost. He says, my leadership is found in my peace. My leadership is found in my peace. Now, you can be out of peace in two basic ways. All right? One of them is worry. If you never, and this has a lot to do with the message I taught last night, same thing. It's becoming secure in your sonship. Lack of worry is not based on your circumstances. I have learned, you know how Paul says, I have learned how to abound and I have learned how to be abased. So have I. I'm telling you, it makes no difference at all whether we got a steady, large income coming in or if we leave Tulsa with two pennies coming to Florida and I don't know how we're going to put the next tank of gas in the car. I know how to do both. Why? I have learned who my Father is. I trust Him. Hey, he that spared not His own Son, how will He not also with Him freely give Gary Carpenter all things? What He saved me to let me fall now? This comes through fellowship, is what I'm saying. I don't think there are any shortcuts to this. You yourself are going to have to meditate the Word and pray in tongues. That's the fastest route to getting to really know your Father. The Holy Spirit, that's what He's here for, is to unveil Christ right before your spiritual eyes. And the more you see Christ, He says, if you see me, you see the Father. So it's incredible, the Holy Spirit's ministry. He not only unveils the living Christ in you, but the more you see the living Christ, the more you see the Father, and the more you understand Him. So, circumstances, it really doesn't matter. Most people are, if their circumstances are fine, you know, if the rent's paid, and there's bread in the cupboard, and kids are being nice, and dog didn't bite you. Hey, I'm at peace. See? You know? But when, you know, kids are being ugly, and the dog bit you, and the alligator ate the dog, and you know, the finances stopped, and you heard about the big layoff that's coming, in other words, the circumstances are bad, then they're not at peace. Well, honey, if you're going to live like that, you're going to be on a yo-yo string all of your life. See, what God's really after is a person that knows how to walk in peace, because He'd like to have some folks to send into some hard places to do some gospel work. Yes. You know, if your circumstances are always going to dictate your peace, how in the world, you'll crater. If His call on your life is to send you into maybe an Islam country where it's illegal to preach the gospel, see? Well, if your peace level is determined by your circumstances, how are you going to hear God when you get in there? You're going to be afraid of your shadow. You're going to be hiding behind everything, you know? You'll crater. You'll come home going, I can't do this. Well, and you can't. You can't when you're like that. You can't even hear Him. Fear and torment and worry. Well, the only cure I know for that is like, get to know God. Yes. You're going to have to get to know Him yourself. And I don't know anyone. Now, Pastor Dave, myself, or Bronk, Rick, anybody who's ministering, all we can really do, we can't give you that kind of peace. Only thing we can do is point you to the one who can. That's the Holy Spirit. That's what He's here for. If you give enough time to Him, He will bring that peace that passes all understanding. I mean, you won't have to work at it anymore. I had to work at it for years. What do you mean work at it? I'd have to get out my peace verses and confess them. Well, hey, that's part of the process of getting to peace. See? I start renewing my mind. In fact, it says right here, it says in the same chapter, Ephesians 4. let's see. We read verse 22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Well, now that verse 23, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, one way you can do that, that's like he had me confess those prosperity verses, those three verses, 4 hours a day. What was happening there? I was having my brain washed. You ever hear of brain washing? I needed my brain washed. Because all the time I was growing up, I was set under a doctrine that says if you have God, you have to be poor. So my brain was dirty with stuff that wasn't the truth. Well, in the process, one method of attaining to peace, find out the truth and wash your brain with the water of the Word. You know? If you have trouble trusting God, you might want to find you three or four verses like that one that I quoted there a while ago. He that spared not his own son, how shall he not also with him freely give you all things? Who is it that condemneth? It is God that justifieth. You know that passage there? My God, you say those about 100 times a day for a few weeks, honey, your peace level will increase.
Yes.
You know? Another one that I really like is where Jesus says, don't fear those that can only kill the body, and after that there's nothing more they can do. No, no, no. Fear Him. Fear Him. After He kills, has the power to cast into hell. In other words, you're saying that's the one they ought to be afraid of. See, if you really fear God, if you really, what I mean by that is reverence and trust Him, serve Him, you don't need to fear anything else on earth. It's hard to even get offended when people talk to you. You don't fear them. Well, what can they do? Not a hair of my head will be harmed, Jesus said. You have to get to know Him. Well, one way of doing that is start washing your brain with the water of the Word. And what I'm talking about here is attaining to peace. The other way is lots of time praying in other tongues. Now, I have to throw this in here to be fair. When people first start hearing the message of spending lots of hours praying in other tongues, and they understand what it's about, and they get excited about it and want to do it, and to be honest with you, it's wonderful the first few weeks. Oh, I finally found the answer. I know I'm on the right path. I know that while I'm praying in these other tongues, He is communicating these very mysteries of the gospel unto me, and I am understanding things that have been hidden since the foundations of the world. Yes, Pastor Bronk, I've been sent here. We're going to be with you till the end, until revival hits Immokalee. Glory to God. And they mean it. Until they hit their first impasse. How many know what I'm talking about? You say, well, I thought I was going to attain to peace. I didn't say immediately. Because what's going to happen? See, those things in you that have always kept you out of peace have got to die. You know, whatever it could be. Fear of man, fear of lack, envy, jealousy, different things, you know. Well, as you start praying, the Holy Ghost, He starts digging around, searching around in your heart, looking for stones and thorns that are in your ground, see. And He says, oh, here's a big old stone. And so what happens is maybe it's envy. Maybe you just kind of envy sometimes. So He brings that right up to the surface of yourself. And you begin to see this. And it's ugly and you hate it. And what's bad is at that moment, when you're going through an impasse, everybody can see it. Because you start acting like that. I thought I was going to get into peace. You will if you don't quit when you hit the impasse. Because the whole idea was to start bringing these things that have kept you out of peace your whole life, Now they're going to come to the surface to be exposed. And if you'll start agreeing with the Holy Ghost, yeah, I hate that. Help me put that to death. And you keep on praying. I mean, envy will leave your life. And you just attain to a new level of peace. The love of money is the same way. It's a deeper root. Takes longer. But, hey, I look at myself when I started at the prayer center even 7 years ago. I know what the motivations of my heart were. And I look at now, and he's not near done with me. But I'm hardly the same human when it comes to money as 7 years ago. There's just been a whole lot of stones kicked out, you know. The thorns burn up. Thank God for that. And peace, oh my God. It's just wonderful to walk in peace like that, see? So, I want you to understand now, praying, confessing the Word and meditating the Word is a big part of attaining to peace. But praying in other tongues is a vital part of it. I don't know any other way to get those stones and those thorns and those things that have always defeated you before. How else are you going to get them out? Who else can get in there but the Holy Ghost? Brock can't get in your spirit. He can't get in there and dig around in your soul, you know, really. By the way, hypnotists can. Stay away from them. It works with demons, you know. Anyway, I don't want to get off on that. That would lose too much time. Don't mess with it. Don't mess with hypnotists. Because they do get in there and mess around with your soul. But they're doing it with demonic energy and not the Holy Ghost. Let the one that God designed to do it. And that's the Holy Spirit. And the number one way you do that is praying in other tongues. Okay? Now, there's a lot more things. If you don't have Pastor Dave's set of tapes called Peace, the Aggressive Weapon of God, I would highly recommend you get it. You can get the address of the prayer center here, and I don't know what they cost, but whatever they cost, they're nothing. Huh? Oh, Peace, the Aggressive Weapon of God. If I remember right, it's a 6-tape series. It will change your life. It will change your life. All right? So one of the things that's really a requirement for you to really get good at hearing God in your spirit is to attain to peace. I think it's the number one thing. The second thing is close, but it's not exactly the same. And that's turmoil and strife. Now I'm talking with your neighbor now. I'm talking with your brother now. Hardly, huh? And I'm talking wife or husband, and even your children now. Turmoil and strife. You remember that vision that he gave me of the calm pond? Now, if your spirit and your soul are at peace, and if you could visualize a pond on a still day with that water just like glass, now any little disturbance, somebody could just toss a pebble in there and you could hear the plop. Not only that, your ear would detect the direction that sound came from. Not only that, but your eyes could see the ripples. And you could deal with that immediately because you're walking in such a level of peace. Right? But now when the peace is one thing, because peace is all the circumstances. Strife is a little different. Strife is how you deal with your fellow man. Again, well, you know what the real answer for strife is? Do you know the Bible says, only by pride cometh contention. Book of Proverbs. Only by pride cometh contention. Do you know it's possible to get at such a level of humility? I've seen this happen literally at the prayer center. I've seen like 14 people in there before the service just railing on Pastor Dave. I know it's hard for you to believe, but I'm telling you, I have seen it with my own eyes. So, you know, just, well, you know, we think this and we think that and we need more programs and you don't have this for the kids and, you know, so-and-so was ugly to me and just how come you don't do something about that? And just, I mean, just railing on him. And him just come out, you know, and they may go in 15 minutes or so. He'll walk right out. Step into that pulpit in total peace. He will not get in strife with any of those people. Now, they may be in strife with him, but you cannot get him to be in strife with you. You see what I'm saying? Only by pride cometh contention. Okay? Now, he can't help what they're doing, but he can sure help what he's doing. Now, that takes a real level of death, mortification, Okay? Honey, human energy is never going to accomplish that in you. You can try and be like that till your hair falls out. Somebody's going to have to make you like that, and that somebody is the Holy Ghost. If you keep praying in other tongues, the very love of God, not only for you, will you understand better, but His love for all those ugly people. He'll start pouring His love into you. And Dave, I heard him say it years ago. I'm finding it to be progressively true as we walk this out. He says, whereas used to you'd lay awake at night in turmoil with things like, how dare they say things like that about me after all we've done for them? I mean, we've just helped them and blessed them, and boy, they shouldn't have talked to me like that. And he said, you know, and that kind of stuff keeps you awake at night first, you know. But after you pray, you know, hundreds of hours over, this takes time. You're not going to change in a week now. But you need a consistent, regular prayer life and let the Holy Spirit deal with you. Because He told us then, and it's already starting to happen. You'll lay awake at night saying, oh my God, I hope I didn't hurt them. I wonder if they took that wrong. I hate it that they're in strife with me. Father, what can I do to bless my... You know, they're trying to be my enemy, but I'm not going to let it happen. What can I do to bless them? You'll lay awake at night just, you know, wondering, did you harm one of the Lord's sheep? Did you hurt somebody? Yeah. You know? I'll be honest with you. We were... Bronk and Rick and Homer and I, we had breakfast Monday morning. And we're always kidding. I'm not real good at kidding. I'll just be honest with you. Those guys are real good at it. But I kind of got caught up in the spirit of the moment. And I kind of gave one of those one-liners. Now, they do it all the time, but I'm not used to it. And they kind of liked it. Well, whatever I said, Homer went, hey, that was a real shot. That's something I said to Rick. In all good, do you know that tormented me for about 2 days? It really did. And he knew and I knew that it was all in fun. But man, my spirit is so trained not to harm anybody, you know. And I was going, Father, you know, was that okay? Do I need to call and make that right? I mean, did he take it okay? I mean, I didn't mean anything by it. What a far cry. I'm surprised at myself. You know, because used to that kind of thing didn't bother me at all, you know. But now, I'm headed right down that path where the thing that would keep me up at night is, oh God, you know, don't let me harm another human. I don't care what they do to me. I mean, you know, because that if you let that process continue, you'll be praying for them while they nail you to a cross. That's what Jesus did. Father, forgive them. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do, see. So getting free of walking in a level of peace is a requirement, number one. And really, that's pretty much, I'm talking there with your circumstances. But then getting to that place, being free of strife. You just have to get strife and envy and that kind of stuff out of your life. I don't know any other way to do that. See, the seed of that kind of... And what we're really talking about is getting to the place where we can step back into our spirit. Most of that stuff that's in us now, knowing that the old nature is not really in us, those things are programmed in our mind now. Those 30 years, 33 years that I walked according to my soul, well, I trained my soul with a lot of stuff, okay? Like somebody would hurt me, I learned to take certain defensive measures. You know how we build walls around ourselves so you don't hurt me anymore? Only problem is you can't escape that wall yourself to love anybody. See, you live in a little tight circle you can't get out of anymore. Well, we have to start tearing those things down, see? Because really, in my spirit now, we haven't learned yet. This is why it's about, you've got to learn to trust the new nature. Because if I can ever really step back in my spirit, rather than having to think with my mind how I should treat you, if I let my spirit come forth, which is created in righteousness and true holiness, I'll love you as you burn me at the stake. Because that's the kind of love He put in me. That's the kind of love He put in you. It comes in us like a seed, you know, Mark chapter 4. You get born again. He says, the kingdom of God is like a grain of mustard seed. It's the smallest seed in your garden when it first comes in. But He says, if you'll nurture that thing. Well, how do you let that seed grow up? Man, you got to water it with the Holy Ghost. You got to feed it nutrients from the Word of God. My words are spirit. They are life. But you let that, the Word and the Holy Spirit nurture and blossom and grow that thing, and you learn how to step back and operate out of your spirit. I don't care what they're doing to you. You'll love them and be giving them money while they burn you at the stake. You know, you can hear God in that spot.
That's right.
You can hear God when you're operating there. All right? You liking it so far? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right? Now, we'll go ahead and get the number one way. Okay, let me back up a little. I mentioned yesterday, God communicates to us primarily four ways, and He always communicates through our spirit. The number one way He prefers to do it is through our spirit. God can communicate directly with your soul. If you won't listen to Him then, He can communicate to you with your circumstances. But He prefers to communicate with you spirit to spirit. Got that?
Yes.
Now, the primary way, the number one way He leads everybody is the inner witness. Now, there's two things I want to mention because I'm afraid I won't come back to them. Number one, He will lead you by the inner witness even if you're out of peace. Even if you're in hatreds and envies and strifes and turmoils, He will still lead you by the inner witness the best He possibly can. And if you pay attention to it, He'll lead you out of a lot of problems. The second thing is you need to know this. Praying in tongues still works for you if you're right, even when you're right in the middle of envy, strife, turmoils, hatreds, variances, witchcraft. I'm talking all the works of the flesh. Well, how can you say that? Because the Holy Spirit has been sent to be with you forever. And He does not leave just because you're messing up. And He has been sent on purpose to lead you out of all that junk into the very life and nature of God. So what I'm saying is, all right, let's say you are right in the middle of hatreds and stripes and you're suing your neighbor and everything's going on, all that kind of stuff. Don't quit praying in tongues. It will still work. It'll work for you parents if you'll pay your kids $5 an hour to pray in tongues. Okay, why are they doing it? Because they want the $5 an hour. It will still work. That is the beauty of praying in other tongues. You cannot mess it up. You could pay. I mean, if that's the only way you can get them to pray, pay them, bless God. But if they'll keep doing it, and you monitor and make sure they're doing it. But if they're praying every day, an hour a day, or whatever it is you're paying them to do it, eventually the motivations of their heart will change. And they'll be praying because they love God and they love people. Isn't that something? God made it pretty hard for us to fail with this praying in tongues thing, see? Alright? Four ways He communicates. First one by the inner witness. The second by revelation, which we talked about yesterday. And it's not in any particular order here. A third way is by speaking to you in the language that you understand. And then the fourth way is by visions and dreams. Now, this is important. All of those come through the same channel. All of them come through your spirit. And if you can start learning how to isolate and locate the channel in you, the place in you where those communications flow through, you can start having access to all of them. Now, I will mention this. Keep praying in other tongues, no matter how bad you sinned and no matter how much strife and envy you're in. It will still work if you'll keep praying. He'll get you out of that stuff. All right? But right on the other hand, about the only leadership you get normally when you're in those kind of things is the inner witness. Normally when you're in the midst of those kind of strifes and turmoils and envies and hatreds and stuff. Now, He'll lead you by the inner witness. And yes, you can still pray in tongues. But it's going to be pretty seldom you're going to start getting revelation knowledge. Pretty seldom you're going to get visions and dreams. Pretty seldom He's going to come talk to you in English or the language that you understand, Spanish or whatever. Isn't it interesting? How many here speak Spanish? Are any other languages represented here? Now, isn't it interesting? See, I don't speak a word. I speak taco. I know burrito, taco, enchilada, okay. You know, yeah. I don't know Spanish at all. But yet, one of these sisters here who speaks Spanish maybe even more fluently than English, they pray in other tongues, and I pray in other tongues, and God, the Holy Spirit, teaches them exactly the same thing out of the Bible as what I get. and he communicates. He can speak to her in Spanish and me in English, and then we, through a translator, we compare notes and we understand the revelation exactly the same. Isn't that incredible? There are no language barriers, really, when it comes to the Holy Spirit. That's why that one gift, you know, there's four diversities of tongues, and one of them is assigned to the unbeliever, where all of a sudden you're preaching and maybe your translator dropped dead. And you say, God, you want me to continue with the message? And you go, he goes, yeah. And you don't know Spanish at all. And you just start speaking, but they hear Spanish. Well, like the Holy Spirit doesn't know Spanish? What? Of course, he knows Chinese, Japanese, you know. Everything. Hallelujah. All right. Now again, okay, let me locate myself here. Get off on these rabbit trails. Takes me a minute to come back. Okay, what can we do other than headed towards peace, getting free of turmoil? Is there anything we can do besides that to start locating the ear of our spirit? Yes, there is. Now, I said, I said all four methods. God does not speak to your spirit one day, and then you hear him in your navel the next day, and then the next day you heard him through your big toe. No, it's always through your spirit. So it's just a matter of locating the ear of your spirit, okay? Now I have to say this. You do not even have to be spirit-filled. I hesitated to say this for a long time, but it is the truth. You don't have to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, nor speak in other tongues, to learn how to hear God in your spirit. How can you say that? Oh, pretty easy. Have you ever read any books by a man named Andrew Murray? How about George Mueller? How about a lot of these other giants from the 1800s and 1700s that, boy, can they hear God? And not one of them spoke in other tongues. Now, meditation of the Word and learning how to listen. Remember, one of the ways we talked about yesterday was learning to suspend verses up in meditation. And because the revelation knowledge flows through that same place, most of them learn to hear God that way. My mother is Baptist to the bone. Never spoke in tongues a day in her life. She can hear God. You'd be amazed. She scares me sometimes how she hears God in a good way. Okay? But now, right on the same, at the same time, I have to say this. For a person that really wants to become expert at hearing God's voice, being baptized in the Holy Spirit and praying in other tongues is a great advantage. Do you know why? Well, okay, we're trying to learn how not to operate out of our mind all the time. We're trying to learn how to operate out of our spirit, right? All right, now, you can do it like this. Right now, as I'm speaking to you, the revelations are coming out of my spirit, but I am using my mind to communicate words. Correct? All right, now, so my mind right now is really speaking to you. Got that? But now watch this. Now, where did those words come from? Directly from my spirit. Let's go ahead and look at it just for your note's sake. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 14. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. Well, at that moment it is, because your spirit is hearing from the Holy Spirit, and it's really your spirit that's speaking the words. Isn't that right? So he says, when I speak in an unknown tongue, it's my spirit. So that's a great advantage right off for the spirit-filled person. You can tell a difference right off. Okay, that is my mind. Step over here. Kinde la frando rebrandosto, that's my spirit. Okay, at least I can see some difference here. You know, I can tell I have the ability to speak out of my spirit, and I have the ability to speak out of my mind. At least I'm learning there's a difference. Okay? So that's a great help, isn't it? All right, now. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Glory. Okay. Now, the trouble is, see, as you start learning to hear him like that, he starts messing up your schedule. In a good way. He's alive. This is what's so wonderful. This is the whole point. See, I had in mind of doing this pretty much like a lecture, like I've been doing. And he's going, we're going to change the agenda a little bit. Is that okay with you? So I'm listening right now to see how we're going to change this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Okay. For it is my desire and my will, says your Father, that you never again even have the sense of being alone. That I could send you anywhere on the face of the earth and you'd be the only light in a very dark place. Yet your emotions would never even rise up to the surface to say lonely. For you are walking with me and my spirit is so real with you and abiding with you that you would never think I am alone. It is my desire to walk with you and talk with you in the cool of the day or at all times of the day as it was in the beginning, says your Lord. And again, I say, I have sent my spirit to be in your presence, that you could have access at all times to the very mind of Christ, that the enemy never gain advantage from your having lack of knowledge. For all the treasures and wisdom are hidden in Christ. But his mind is not hidden from you, for I have sent my spirit, and you have access to all the treasures and wisdom that are in him, says the Lord. Now, isn't that good stuff? I am not that smart. I am not that smart. I hear him say stuff like that and I go, man. Now if we can learn to... Now see, here's something you're going to find as you start learning to isolate that voice. At first you're going to hear him in general terms. It's going to be fairly general. You're wanting to... I'll use myself as an example. I'm wanting maybe to find out what kind of car should I buy. I need to buy a new car. Lord, I would like your counsel. And what kind of car would be best for us to buy? We don't know exactly what he's got coming up in the future. We don't know whether we need an economy car. It's going to be around Tulsa, so we need something with lots of good gas mileage. Or do we need something, you know, for the long haul? Are you going to be sending us driving to California and Canada and all of that? We might need a town car. See what I'm saying? Well, I find in the beginning when I'm starting to learn to hear him, I hardly ever get specific answers like that. It's getting better all the time. He can flat tell you what kind of car you ought to buy. There's one minister that I know of. I don't know him very well. Dave knows him. The Lord specifically told him to buy a heavy Mercedes car. Of the different Mercedes models, this one was a heavy-duty one. Okay? And this man is an East Indian. They're normally very humble, and he is. And he says, oh, Lord, that's too expensive. That's too much car. I can't buy a car like that. And so, you know, and the Lord kept dealing with him, buy that particular kind of car, buy that model. But he couldn't bring himself to do it. See, his mind overrode his spirit. Well, so he bought a lesser car. In just a few months, there was a car accident, and his daughter was killed. Then he understood why. So many things happen that we blame on the Lord. So many times he's trying to get the answers to us ahead of time. But we don't know how to listen to him. That's why these sessions are so important, that we learn how to listen. Now his daughter went to heaven. He'll see her again. But it's a loss. It's a sadness, and it didn't have to be. Well, I nearly lost my life from not obeying what I heard the Lord say to me. Remember when he told me to go full time? I mentioned it last night. Well, I didn't do it. See, it's bad enough to have him, to not hear him. But then as you do get to where you can hear him and then disobey, man, you're just setting yourself up for trouble. And it nearly cost me my life, see? So I guess what he's trying to say with this is, listen, okay, yes. That's what he's trying to say with this. Listen, it's not just a matter of learning. That's why he's having me teach these things before we get heavy into the mechanics. It's not just a matter of learning to hear his voice. What good is that going to do unless your heart has been consecrated to obey him? Can you see what he's trying? I see what he's trying to say now. That's really what he's trying to say. What good would it? You say, well, why won't he talk to me? Listen, why should he tell you something that it's obvious you're not going to do? Then you're in disobedience once he tells you. And you know that you know what he said, and then you choose not to do it. Honey, that's called disobedience. That's what opens the door for the devil. You see? So part of why it's sometimes hard to... We need to check our consecration level. Now we're coming down the avenue of worship. You know? How about sanctification level? You know, input from the world? How much input from the world compared with how much input from the Word are you getting? How much time a day are you setting aside to let nothing but the very mind of God pass through you, either with the written Word or praying in other tongues? Dave puts it this way, and every time he does, I feel like I've been sliced and diced. He says, are you really trying to see how much of God you can have and how much of the world at the same time? Is that your goal? And I say, I hope not. Sometimes I wonder, even about myself, you know. And what about our consecration level? See, we sing that song, one of my favorite songs that Michael Kelly sings all the time at the church. Lead me, Lord, I'll follow anywhere you open up the door. Okay, so he opens up a door through a real ugly person that he's been trying to get the gospel to, and this ugly person comes and is real mean to you. God opened the door. Now, are you going to incorporate Luke 6 and everything that he's taught you about how to deal with that ugly sinner? Or are you going to retaliate like the world would? See? Because he's going to be something. God's Spirit is going to be saying something like, bless him because he's persecuting you, so bless him. Pray for him because he's despitefully using you. See? God opened the door for you. But if all we know is the world is, sue his socks off. He did that to me and I'm suing him, you know. He'll rue the day he ever messed with one of God's kids. I've heard messages like that. For God's sake, you know. Anywhere you open up the door, you know. So some real ugly person comes and just finds one place, looking for one, yep, here's a spot where there's no knife yet. Ha! Sticks it in Bronx back, and God says, I open the door now for you to minister to this lost sheep. And hope to God the shepherd is dead enough to go after that lost one. Say, we seldom recognize the doors. And if that door opens, all we want to do is slam it shut real quick. Because we don't like the pain, you know. Our goal is to live pain-free. And his goal is to save sinners. And he's trying to get us dead enough and usable enough to do that. Okay? All right. That's what he was trying to get across. A big part. So we got peace, getting free of strife and turmoil. And then he's saying, I didn't really have this one in mind, consecration. The more you sell out to him, the easier it's going to be to hear him is what he's saying. See, the more your life is really... For he says, you know, if you don't hate your mother, your sister, your brother, and your own life also, you can't even be my disciple. Well, what is a disciple but one that sits and listens and learns and to become like? He says, well, if you're not going to give up your life also to follow me, you can't be my disciple, meaning you can't hear me. How could I train you? I mean, to follow me means you've got to lay down your life, and if you're not willing to do that, how am I going to train you? You can't be my disciple. You're going to lead yourself around. You're not going to follow me. I'm going to lead you to some real ugly people, because if they don't get saved, they're going to hell. Oh, Lord, I don't like dealing with real ugly people. I ain't going there. Well, I can't talk to you. Why would I talk to you about that if you're not going to do it? See, so that's what he's trying to say. Okay. Now, we're going to get into the mechanics a little bit. Go to Luke 16. Hallelujah, Jesus. And even before we start here, I can just tell you right now, since the tongues flow through the same channel as the visions and as the revelations and as Everything, every way, even the inner witness, every way that God communicates with you. I'll tell you right now, getting accustomed to praying a lot in other tongues. And this is the kind I'm talking about where while you're going about your daily business. Standing in the checkout line at Walmart. Driving from Immokalee to wherever you came from. Doing your normal, just getting accustomed to letting the Spirit of God pour through you a lot. That alone will start getting you familiar with the channel through which God speaks. So, at the prayer center, you know, Tim's gotten to where when people come to the conference, he has to kind of warn them, he says, because sometimes when people come, they don't understand. Like, you know, they're not in the pulpit or anything, but maybe you'll just be talking to me, and you'll notice that while you're talking to me, I'm standing there going, I'm listening, but my lips are moving. You can't hear any sound hardly coming out. We get accustomed there to praying all the time. If your mouth isn't busy doing something else, you're praying. We try and let the Spirit of God pour through our spirit all the time. I've learned, Sue and I, of course in the beginning it used to bother us, doesn't bother us at all now. But you'd be in the checkout line at Walmart, and you'd be, you get so accustomed to doing this, you don't even realize, it's like second nature, you know. You're just praying all the time. So, you know, you're just waiting in Walmart line. And hey, your eyes happen to fasten on somebody and you notice they're kind of looking at you. You know? And at first it would kind of, you know, because I'm praying real soft and my lips are moving a little bit and they think something's wrong with you, you know. And so at first it would kind of startle me years ago and I'd quit. Anymore, I don't care, you know. So they'll look at me and I see what's going on, that they're seeing my lips moving. So what do? I just go, yes. I'll just smile real nice and just keep on going, you know. I don't care what they think. Why do I care? They can't save me. They can't help me anyway, you know. And what I'm trying to do is keep that flow going. I want to get accustomed to God, the Holy Ghost, pouring through my spirit all the time. When we drive, really, when I see Sue all the time, no matter whether she's vacuuming or whatever she's doing around the house, them lips are always going. I'm the same way. So don't be offended. You know, it's not like we're not paying attention. We've just got accustomed to doing that all the time. And it helps. It helps you keep that channel, that flow through that channel going all the time. Plus, there is no such thing as a wasted hour praying in other tongues. I mean, even then, he is communicating those mysteries of the gospel to your spirit. So you get accustomed to doing that. How many hours of prayer are you going to get in a day that you wouldn't get in otherwise? A lot of them. But now what we're really wanting to talk about here today is getting to where we can hear Him in our spirit and then picking up what He said with our mind. See, because eventually, if you're going to take action on the will of God, you've got to understand it in your head. But, okay, what I'm talking about, there's two paths in front of you. Now, if you don't know which one to take. Now, the Holy Spirit is saying, take path A. Okay? And you're picking that up in your spirit. That eventually has to get to your soul. Because your legs, they take their orders from the head. You know? And if they're going to turn down path A, they need to hear path A. Take path A. Are you with me? All right. Now, praying in tongues while you're occupied doing other things helps keep that flow going all right, and it does help keep that channel open. But now if you want to start learning to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit and pick it up with your brain, you're going to have to start spending some time alone with the Holy Spirit, not doing anything else. Now, I had you turn to Luke 16. Most of you have probably already heard this. If you haven't, so all I'm going to do is skim the surface of this revelation. If you do not, again, I'm not here to sell tapes, but I just don't know where else you can get. Brock may have a set here that's just as good. He may have taught on it. I don't know. But the one set I do know of is a 2-tape set by Dave called Distinguishing God's Voice. If you do not have those 2 tapes, fast a meal or something and order them from the prayer center. I mean, it's worth having. You've got to have them. Because he covers in great detail what I'm going to skim here in about 5 minutes. All right? But that was the launching pad that got Sue and I on the path where we could hear God a lot better than we used to. I'm not saying I hear Him all the time now, but I sure hear Him a lot better than I used to. All right? Now, I'm going to skim the surface of this revelation. But I do suggest to you that you have in your own library that two-tape series by Pastor Dave Roberson called Distinguishing God's Voice. Okay. We're going to pick it up in Luke 16, starting in verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Now that's far enough. There's lots in there. Now the point is this. Notice verse 22. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now notice, the rich man also died and was buried. Now where is his body then? It's in the ground, right? His body's in the earth. All right, but notice he's still alive. Verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes. Now, we seldom get a glimpse in the Word of God beyond the veil of this life, but here we have one. This man has been separated from his body. He has died. It plainly tells us his body is buried in the ground here. All right. So he, being in hell, what is that? If his body's in the ground, that's his spirit and soul together in hell. Isn't that right? All right. So let's see what we can learn about the spirit man. Here we get a rare glimpse into the realm of the spirit. Now watch. And in hell, it's got to be his spirit we're talking about, the spirit and soul. And in hell, he lift up his eyes. Well, now, wait a minute. His physical eyes are buried in the ground. This has to be... You mean my spirit man has eyes? Well, apparently. All right, let's see what else we can find out. Go on down here to verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus. Now, Lazarus is also, you know, he's in spirit here also, that he may dip the tip of his finger. Well, okay, so we've learned two things now about spirits. They have eyes, and they at least have tips of fingers. Isn't that right? All right. Let's see what else we can find out here. That he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my... Your spirit has a tongue? Now, let's think about this for a minute. If it's true that our spirit man has eyes, and our spirit man at least has tips of fingers, and our spirit man has a tongue, doesn't it make sense that our spirit has all the other parts of the body? Dave puts it like this. He says, you know, if I was standing right here, and it was possible for my spirit to just step outside of my body and stand right beside it, you'd hardly be able to tell the difference. Except I'd be younger with more hair. You know, and the perfect weight. But our spirit, see, hold up your hand. Hold up your physical hand, look at it. See, that's you're used to looking at your own physical hand. You have a spiritual hand that fits in there like, it's like a hand in a glove here. Your body is like the glove over your spirit. Yes, you've got spirit eyes, you've got spirit tongue, you've got spirit fingers. I wonder if that means your spirit would also have ears. And I wonder if that means your spirit would also have a brain. Well, absolutely. Now see, this whole communication that we see going on here is spirit to spirit. So that tells us in that, you know, the Bible says in that day we'll know as we're known and be known. Okay? So, communication is going on. Do you notice that the rich man did not lose his memories? He knew who Lazarus was. Even though he'd never met Abraham, he knew who Abraham was. He also remembered, if we didn't read down that far, that he had five brethren. All right? But yet this is just his spirit and his soul, without the body at all. So that in order for him to have memories, there has to be a spiritual brain. Your brain fits inside your natural brain, just like your spirit tips of fingers fits on the inside of your tip of fingers. Isn't that right?
Yes.
All right. Well, now, with that in mind, when you're praying in other tongues, we read a while ago, it says, when I speak in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth. But where is that language coming from? Acts 2:4 tells us they all spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Amen? So what's going on there? Okay, now, the Holy Spirit is creating the actual words. He's creating the prayer. He's creating the language. That's the utterance. And at the same instant He's creating that, there is a transfer from Him through your spiritual ear to your spiritual brain. Isn't that right? Can you see that has to happen? If it's not you creating the prayer, that prayer had to originate in the Holy Spirit. And at the same time He's creating that language, you're hearing it with your spiritual ear. It's passing right through your brain, just like my words are in your natural brain now, so that your spiritual tongue can use your physical tongue and speak that prayer language. Isn't that right? All right. Now, that being the case then, you could say it a different way. Say, all right, if I could hear within me, if I could hear the Holy Spirit creating that language, wouldn't that be the ear of my spirit? Now think for a minute. We're going to do this. We're going to pray in tongues, everybody. I want you to pray sort of loud where you can hear yourself. And then when I say to stop, I want you to just stop and like cleave your tongue to the roof of your mouth. Don't let it keep doing anything. Then I want you to listen, and you'll be able to hear those tongues still going for a little while on the inside. All right, you ready? Everybody? Just begin praying in tongues fairly loud. Let the flow go here. Now stop. Can you hear? You hear those tongues? You're not creating those tongues. The Holy Spirit is. Hello. You just located the ear of your spirit. You're hearing the Holy Ghost creating that prayer language through your spiritual ear. Let's do it again. Let's do it again now. Practice this. Kodre andara labrandos de Christos mancutere biandastus. Che andara labrandos de Christos mancutere brandero frende de bidiandos de. Kunde de la singele bendere bidiatus de briandos de kunde de brato. Now stop. Can you hear him? Can you hear him? For benefit of the tape. Can you hear him? Everyone's nodding up and down. I'm going on. These people will get this tape, so they won't know if you're hearing them or not. Think what's happening. That thing you have always desired just happened for you. You're going, if I could only hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Now, since it's not you creating that language, it's the Holy Spirit giving you the utterance. He is creating those syllables. Those syllables pass through your spiritual ear into your spiritual brain, so your spirit tongue that fills your natural tongue can speak them out. So when you're hearing those tongues, that is the voice of the Holy Spirit. You just located the ear of your spirit. You say, yeah, but it's just tongues. I needed to know what car to buy. The same channel. That's what we're saying. Now, the same channel that the tongues come through, that's the same channel, that same ear, that's the same channel through which the visions come through. It's the same channel through which revelation knowledge comes through. And it's the same channel where words in your known language come through. Now what I did, I started practicing this, and once I got a hold of this message, and I understood what Dave was teaching us. You know, those of you that know, I have this ugly building where I can go pray. And I'm telling you, it's difficult at first. That's why you need to get alone. You need to get quiet somewhere. Okay? And so I would go over to the ugly building, and there's no distractions there, and I would begin just practicing this. I would pray in other tongues for a while, get that flow going, and then I would stop on purpose and listen. I could hear the tongues. Now, it seems like, for me, they fade after about 20 or 30 seconds. I don't hear them anymore. I guess because my tongue is not still moving for that language to be created or something. I don't know. But all I know is that I can hear them for about 20 or 30 seconds. So, if they just stay tongues, I start doing it again. I pray for a minute or so, get that flow going. Then I'd cleave my tongue to the roof of my mouth and stop and listen. I could hear them. And that alone is worth it just for the practice of learning, because those tongues are they're not coming from your mind. Those are coming from the Holy Ghost through your spirit. And it's a different place in you than mental energy. You'll begin learning the difference between your own mental thoughts and that channel through which the Holy Spirit speaks. They are two different things. Mental energy and the voice of the Holy Spirit come from two different places. Just practicing that for a while will help you start distinguishing and learning and to make the difference between your thoughts that come from your own mind and the voice of the Holy Spirit. Okay? But now what I was really after was, because David told us, he says, now the same channel through which you hear those tongues, that's the same channel through which you hear Him speak to you in English. So I was thinking, okay, I want to hear Him speak to me in English. So I was over there with the idea of, I'm going to do this. I'm going to pray in other tongues, get the flow going, and then I'm going to stop and listen. Perchance He may speak to me in English, and I need to hear Him in English. Amen? Well, hour one went by, hour two went by, and every time I would check, you know, listen, still tongues. Well, I don't, and this time I didn't really document it. I don't know how long it was. It was in the first day is all I can tell you, and I was only over there about 4 or 5 hours, so it had to be within the first 4 or 5 hours sometime. You know, after an hour or two goes by, and every time you check, you just keep doing the same process over and over again, and every time you stop and listen, it's tongues. Well, after a while, you kind of expect the tongues, you know. So, I was kind of disappointed, you know. I mean, it had been time after time after time after time, and all I would hear was the tongues. And so this one time, though, after a couple hours of that, I did that, got quiet, and it was English. I said, oh, my God. And it's almost like, yes. It was English. It wasn't tongues when I listened that time. I mean, you ought to see me. I'm reaching for my tape recorder, notepad, something. God's talking. You know, I'm going to make record of this. And boy, I mean, I still remember the first words He said. He said, welcome, with open arms, I welcome you. Welcome to the realm of the Spirit. I am your friend and counselor. The Father and the Son have been longing for this day to welcome you with open arms. It may not be word for word, but that's the gist of it. Oh, my God. You know, it's English. Man, I'm writing for stuff. Now, He's got my attention. Okay? And I started going over there day after day, day after day, going through that same process. You know, getting quiet, getting away from all distractions, and I'm still doing all this. I mean, still yet, later on in the day, we'd go to Walmart or drive in the car. I'm praying all the time. But this is different. This is where I have my mind focused and listening there. Just perchance He may have something to say to me. I want my mind to be able to pick it up. See? Well, if your mind, that's what I said earlier, peace is required to do that. I'm convinced God is talking to us a lot more than what we're hearing Him. But through lack of peace, turmoil, worry, always having our mind busy, 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 and thinking about what we're going to do and how we're going to do this and next week's problems and the problems after that and this and that over there, and they shouldn't have talked ugly about me anyway, and you know. And our minds are off way out there with all these things, and even when he does try and communicate in English, we're not there to hear it. That's why I started off, peace, be still. Get off by yourself at first. Now, he's already told me one of the things he said. He says, as you become expert at learning to hear my voice, he says, you can be in the midst of the hurricane, and my voice will be the one most easily heard by you. In other words, it's not really required that we go off and get by ourselves, but it is required while you're learning to isolate his voice. Because your mind is, you know, most of us are always so busy, full of activity. Our minds are just occupado. You know, we're busy on stuff, you know. And you can't hear him that way. But you get, and I'll tell you this now. How bad does it have to get? Well, I had this ugly building on 9 acres. There's no phone over there. There's no nothing over there. I mean, there's no television, no nothing. And your mind... I'll tell you right now, your mind does not like standing there listening to tongues that it does not understand. It wants to focus on anything. I have learned in the beginning, this little building is like a 10 by 12 concrete structure with a door. And I would go over there and just leave the door open and sit in the kind of in the doorway looking out. And do you know that had a... I had trouble hearing God because my mind would go, that's a pretty bird. Look at that butterfly. You need to trim that hedge right over there. My mind... And that's, see, that's really what God gave us our minds for. It's a tool. It's supposed to be, you know, feeding us information and all of that. But see, it wants to take over. And for 30-some-odd years, in my case, it was basically Lord. It made all the decisions, it analyzed all the information, and you know, and what I'm doing now, I'm trying to suppress it down below my spirit and make it a tool. But boy, it does not like 2 hours of having me pray in other tongues and then stop and make my mind do nothing but listen to those tongues. And it's going, boring, boring, I don't understand this, I don't like this, let's go look at butterflies, anything, pretty cardinal. Think it's going to rain. It focus on anything. And then, you know what verse come to my mind? Remember when Jesus said, when you go into your prayer closet, shut the door. I literally had to... Now, in context, that's not what he was talking about. He was talking about shut it so that people couldn't see you, you know, so you weren't praying just for man's sake. But still, that verse came to my mind, and I said, I'm going to have to go shut that door because my mind will not quit focusing on this other stuff. You know, I want it to focus on these tongues so in case it'll change to English, see? So I finally had to go close the door. When it got real hot, I left the door open and turned my back to it. So I have a little breeze, you know, I have a fan there, you know, a little breeze coming through it, you know, 105 degrees, and now it gets warm in that building. But the idea was I had to literally turn my mind away even from just looking outside in the beginning. Now, I know it won't always have to be that way. Well, that process began now. And that very thing that I read to you yesterday, did that bless you about communion with God? Well, there's I have a lot of them. I've assembled 15 or 20 of them into a packet that I call face-to-face communications. And that's what I said, those are for you. If you want them, they're free. But that's how that process began. At first, it was just a little bit. I'd hear him a little bit, and then it got to be more. And like I said, at first it was very general, very general. But let me tell you how specific it got. And then we'll close here. That'll be enough for today. One time we were trying to learn how to do this, and I was getting better at it, and I'd already written several of these communication things. And at a Saturday service at the church, we have an outreach where that's the day we bus in the homeless. And we have a regular full-blown church service for them, and then they feed them afterwards. Well, we were involved in that service, and Sue and I were going down a prayer line afterwards, and I was just praying, and we'd had this going for a little while, And I come along, there's this one lady, and I just kind of touched her on her cheek, you know, like this, you know, praying, and the Holy Ghost listening. And all of a sudden, I just knew she had two children. And I said, "You have two children?" She said, "Well, yes." And I went, "Cool," on the inside. I went, "Cool." You know, you act real professional, you know, when you do it. But on the inside, I'm going, "Cool." Word of knowledge. Hallelujah, see? And then some more stuff came, and I ministered to her, and it was all good, you know. So I was so excited. I was telling Sue, I said, "Hey, that was a word of knowledge, you know. I've never met this lady before. I didn't know she had two children." Next day, when I got at the ugly building and started to pray, now by this time, we had got that communication going. He told me, he says, "That was not a word of knowledge." He says, "You didn't pick that up from me. You picked that up from her human spirit." He said, "Do you notice that you didn't receive that information until you touched her?" He says, "Many ministers have been led off by following that path till eventually they're working with familiar spirits, thinking it's the Holy Ghost." He says, "Have you ever noticed most mediums have to have an object in their possession that belonged to that person in order to pick up information like that, unless they're very accomplished?" He says, he started teaching me the difference between, and specifically told me things to do in order to hear from him and not to pick up things from the people that I'm ministering to so that I don't confuse the two. Because otherwise it's going to be a mixed message. I'm half picking up what they want and I'm half picking up what the Holy Spirit's saying. You get a mix of the two, it's going to be all messed up. But now how... Huh? You got a teacher? My job is to put you in touch with the teacher.
Amen.
That lesson is in those. That everything he said to me is in those face to face. That's one of them that's in there. But and it's just simple, practical things that he will. These are the kind of things we've needed to know forever. See, if there's a better way to minister than that, I don't want to be ministering by her spirit or familiar spirits. I want to be hearing from the Holy Ghost, and I need to know the difference. Well, good God, I wonder how I ever would have found out if I hadn't started practicing this. Okay? Now, a couple of more practical things for today. You might want to make note of this. Now, this is practical stuff you can use. And we're going to let you go. Y'all getting anything out of this? Is this helping? All right, now watch. Oh, I don't know why I'm doing that. That's not me. Now, when you start this process, I'm telling you, your mind don't like it. And if you find your whatever you call your prayer closet, and you're going to go there with the idea of practicing this, let me tell you right now, as soon as you start, you're going to begin thinking of 19 different things you need to be doing. Okay? Your mind does not like it. Now, really, for a long time, I tried to keep my mind from doing that. You know, just be quiet. You know, stop that. And really, you can't really make that happen, and I'll tell you why. God designed your mind to remind you of stuff. Your mind, our soul, is really a tool that God gave us, and it's a very good one. It's like a computer you take with you everywhere. It's got a data bank in it. It's got if any of you use Quicken on the computer, it has a reminder thing to remind you when the bills are due. Well, your brain is like that. It reminds you of stuff you need to do. It's time to mow the lawn. It's time to do this. It's time to pay the bills, you know. So rather than try and make your mind not function that way, which is the way God intended it to function, I've learned to carry a steno pad with me. Or you could use a 8.5 by 11, just something to write on. And you'll notice as soon as you start doing this, start really getting into prayer, I mean, things are going to start coming to your mind. You need to mow the lawn today. Sue told you to bring home some eggs and milk on your way back from the ugly building. You need to mail a letter to so-and-so. What I've learned to do is as those come up, I write them down. This is during the first hour of prayer. I write them down because your mind is also made like this. It's designed by God to help you, your mind is, to remind you of stuff so you be a good person and don't forget this stuff. Now, if you'll write it down, your mind says, okay, Darwin's got that. He wrote that down. We haven't lost that. I don't need to remind him anymore about that today. And you'll find your mind will quit reminding you about that particular thing. Then as you continue to pray, there's going to be something else come up. Write it down. You'll find that after that usually happens a lot with me during the first hour of the day when I'm trying to pray. Okay? But as you write them down, your mind will quit, it'll quit reminding you of it. And you'll find you're settling into peace more and more and more, where you can then have your mind focus on those tongues. It's just a simple, practical tool that I learned to use. And then on top of that, now I'm such an active, my mind is very active. Normally, my list, by the time that first hour is up, is anywhere from 20 to 35 things. Every day, even though I cleared them all the day before. I mean, there'll be 20 to 35 things that'll come up, and I'll write them down. Okay? The good thing about that, though, is when you get home, your prayer time is done, you've already got your to-do list done. And I mean, it's helpful. Now I go just the opposite. Okay, I focused on the Spirit this morning. Now it's blessed God time to get stuff done. And I'll start on that list, and having them all listed out there, I can get more done in the next 3 or 4 hours than I normally could in 2 days. I mean, I've got it just handle this, handle that, mark them off of that list. Handle this, handle that, mark them off. And I can get more done in an afternoon than I used to could get done in a week. Because I wouldn't think of it. But here, this stuff just came floating up as I was letting my spirit start to pray. My mind is just, just like a wonderful little computer, just reminded me of all this stuff. And you write it down, your mind will let go of it, and it'll be a whole lot easier for you to focus on those tongues. So, I told you I had some practical things to do. One of them is either keep you a steno pad, a notepad. You could even use a recorder. As you think of stuff, you could use one of those micro cassette recorders, I tried that for a while. Tim Stemple does that. But see, he has a secretary. So when he gets back to the office, he hands her the micro cassette recorder and she types out the list. Well, it turned out to be double work for me because I'd speak into the recorder and I'm my own secretary. When I get back, then I got a list. It took me an hour to play the tape and type this stuff or write this stuff. So now I just write them. For me, it works better. So I just write the stuff as it comes up. When I get home, man, I got my to-do list, and we're I get a lot done that way.